You're listening to littlepodcast.com.
This week on the Famicom Dojo podcast, we chat with Phil Bond about all things Metroid, Future Retro belongs to Project M, and maybe, just maybe, I'll finally start playing Metroid Prime 2 again. Do 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 do.
How does this work?
So I have been having a Metroid kind of month, and I know Vink hasn't been playing any Metroid lately, but I found someone who did. So say hi, Phil.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Metroid right now.
What kind of Metroid? What flavor? What brand?
Our girl Amber is here playing Super Metroid.
On the Wii U?
On the Wii U Virtual Console, the Torizo that gives you the morph ball bombs is throwing shockwaves at her.
Did you say chorizo?
No, I said Torizo. The name of the Chozo statues that come alive and attack you is the Torizo.
I did not know that.
With a T. There's this first one, and later in the game there's a gold one that actually has something to do with an interesting debug mode, but I don't know if we'll get to that today.
Is she having trouble?
No, not really.
Okay, I thought I heard no gosh.
Okay, she had some trouble.
Yeah.
It's going to be fine.
So I've been putting up some Super Metroid videos, clips I took from about a year ago when this came out on Virtual Console initially. And I got really excited about it, especially after the whole why can't Metroid crawl thing exploded.
Yeah, everyone got really excited about crawling.
Oh, dear God. So I just wanted to play this game, and I really love it. And I remembered vaguely there were some things I could do a bit early, and then I ended up watching some videos by a guy called Lancoon, who was...
Should we refresh people's memory on why can't Metroid crawl?
Oh, goodness. Okay, let's do that first.
All right. Everyone should know that Samus turns into a morph ball, and I'm looking right now at the Why Can't Metroid Crawl meme shot. The joke is that new players would find a space in the game that was one block tall, and they wouldn't have the morph ball yet, and they wouldn't know how to get through. They'd say, "Why can't Metroid crawl?" And some of that may have been disingenuous sarcasm.
Yeah. Like if you follow the Miiverse posts of the person who initially made that comment, it seems like they were really just trolling people hard. But it doesn't really matter because I think the sentiment is fair.
Uh-huh.
But that got me on this whole, you know, old guy screed, and I really wanted to learn more about how to play this game better. And I found Lancoon, who was showing some sequence break and not doing a really great job at it per se, but really did a good job explaining what he was doing at any particular point, which then led me to speedruns. And oh my God, I feel like such a fool next to these people.
Yeah. I've watched some GBA speedruns that are pretty great lately.
Ugh.
I don't generally like speedruns at all, especially for a certain series, but I feel like Metroid is the one series that begs to be speedrun. Well, directly and literally.
Super Metroid in particular just seemed like, almost seems like it was built to break sequences, especially as fast as you can potentially get to create if you're skillful enough. Although there are a couple of spots where you will die if you do it wrong. But, you know, that led me to making a whole bunch of videos, and we're going to do a bunch of train your games about those. And the original idea for that series of videos was to have the old man explain it. But, you know, typically he only tells half-truths about misremembered facts, but in this case, he would actually give you the skills needed. And without going into a lot of detail, it took forever to get the scripts written, and then Vink had his accident and broke his camera within weeks of each other, so we never got it done. But I had this video laying around, and then I looked at the timestamp, and it was like June of last year. I'm like, oh god, I gotta like get this out. And then I was doing that, and you made a comment to me after you saw one posted on Facebook
about the how the wall jump is in every 16-bit Metroid game.
Yeah,
even though Super Metroid is the only one that makes an attempt to teach it to you.
Right, right. Yeah. And I actually picked up Fusion again, and those critters are on the space station. Spoilers. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe at that point it's to remind you of that fact, because there is one thing, there's at least one spot I can think of where you have to wall jump in order to get to the boss in that area.
No, you never need to wall jump in either of the GBA games.
What?
You never need to wall jump, and you never need to shine spark. It could be very advantageous. It'll give you lots of good routes, and there are missile and power bomb expansions that you can't get without knowing how to do that. But you do not need that knowledge in order to beat the final boss and win the game.
Well, balls. I thought for sure that I had uncovered some vast, awesome secret. Right. Okay. So you had, I guess, gotten off a Sinta play in Fusion. You were looking for a copy of Zero Mission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My first one had gone missing. Very unusual for me. I carry around like 60 pounds of old cartridges, and on the rare occasion that I actually want to replay one, it's not there in the pile. So that was sad, but we tracked one down. It's worth a good amount of money too. It's worth, just about original retail price, even without the box.
How much was it, like $30?
Yeah, it's 30, yeah. $35.
Yeah, that's not
depending on how fast you want it.
Wow, I guess. Yeah, I still have my copy. I think I have the box too somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went on vacation about a week ago, and had time to play, and I beat it in like, well, you know, I did some backtracking and trying to get a lot of items with. I think I beat it in about less than 6 hours, and I spent another hour just trying to get power-ups and get it closer to 100%, because I don't think I was even over 70 when I finished it. But one of the things, because we were talking about this back and forth for I don't know how many days, and I kept spamming you with screenshots, like, did I break the sequence here? Am I sequence breaking here? You're like, no. He was chilling. Son of a bitch. It's true though. It's like you can end up behind these Chozo statues that sit down after you go into their glowing claws, and you can't go the opposite direction, basically.
Mm-hmm. There's a couple of spots in Zero Mission. See, for starters, for anyone who hasn't played Zero Mission, they do something no other Metroid game does, which leads a lot of people to say that game is very easy, and I'm not even going to argue with that sentiment, but one of the changes of Zero Mission, which is supposed to be a rewrite and expansion of the original Metroid game, is that the game is littered with Chozo statues that were never there before that serve no function except to give you a map prompt for where to go next and to refill your energy and missiles anytime you visit them again.
Right.
And a few of them will physically block your way until you sit in their claws for a second so that they can do that little thing. And the text Sean is referring to, he sent me a picture of approaching one of these statues from the back, and he thought that he had sequence broken the game. He thought on many occasions that his knowledge of wall jumping was taking him beyond the boundaries of where he was supposed to be, but he was really exactly where he was supposed to be, and the game was just taunting him that he was supposed to come at that room from the other side, which requires you to find a secret room, which is, you know, something that happens all the time in any Metroid game.
Yeah, I was particularly proud of myself that I was able to get into areas that I couldn't because lack of wall jumping or a ball jump or whatever else. And it, I didn't really truly break any sequences in the game until with your help and then the help of a video I found. I was able to get super missiles a bit early, but I don't think it made any difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't really know. I don't really know how dramatic that little sequence break is. There's a spot in the game where you're supposed to earn the super missiles according to the design progression of the game. You're supposed to face a wasp boss.
Yeah.
But
which I eventually met.
There's another place where, with some fairly advanced shine sparking, you can grab a super missile expansion the moment you have both the speed dash and jump ball abilities, which I guess comes a little sooner than that boss fight. It's not a dramatic difference.
No. And
but that's what speedrunning Metroid games is, a game of inches.
Yes. I think this particular, I mean, because it's very well designed. You know, this wasn't like an unintended side effect or something. They, you know, you don't need to do any kind of morph ball shine sparking, which I think is the first time you could do it in any of these games, right? As shine spark as a morph ball.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Because I played Fusion, I couldn't do it, so I figure this must be the first time. Mm-hmm. But there's these dash blocks that you can't go through unless you're in a ball form, and there's no need to do it otherwise in the game.
Because the channel's too narrow.
Yeah. And then you have to stop. You have to stop yourself and then keep going, because if you just let yourself go, you can't get through all the screens you need to go through. It's crazy. They intended it this way. So you get the super missile early, and the best you can do is get more super missiles, I think, until you get to the boss that, you know, gets you the one you're supposed to get. And I don't know. I think the only other instance where I just something a little ahead of something else was that those statues you mentioned that showed you where you were supposed to go next in the map, I got to another one before I got to the point where the last one told me to go. And so I had two spots on my map at the same time where I was supposed to go.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Huh. I think it was on the way to Ridley. I can't remember exactly though.
Yeah, I watched two speedruns of Zero Mission recently. The first one was at a live event called Summer Games Done Quick, which was pretty cool. A seasoned player did a 100% completion speedrun with commentary. He didn't collect every item in the game, but when he finished the game, the percentage on the screen said your rate for collecting items is 100%.
Well, how does that work?
He skipped the various suit because apparently if you just never pick up the various suit, but then you do get the gravity suit, they assume you must have gotten the Varia at some point. So he's charging through superheated areas and just scraping by with only 20 energy left here and there because he knows that the game will eventually assume he got it, whether he did or not.
Ah, man.
He went most of the game without the long beam, and I don't know if he ever got that. And he ran right by the charge beam several times. Like he would run right under it with it hovering over his head. Because I think in some Metroid games, only the expansions count toward your completion percentage. Okay. I'm not saying that's the case here. I'm just saying that it might be unintuitive which things are required in order for the game to tell you you've gotten 100%.
That's insane. I watched one that you sent me where it was like a four-way speed run, and I cannot remember the name of one of the guys whose name I should know if I ever hear it.
Kirby Masta?
No, that's not the one. you're one for four so far.
Well, that was one of the three-way fusion speedrunners.
Oh, was it fusion? No, I thought it was Super Metroid I was watching.
I didn't watch any four-way speedruns for anything but fusion.
All right,
see, during Summer Games Done Quick in late June, they had three players race through fusion as a 1% race. The idea being that they would collect the absolute bare minimum of power-ups possible throughout the game.
Ugh, all right.
And it came down so close. I think they each died once. One of them may have died twice, but the race between second and third came down to less than a second.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and one of the players' names was Kirby Masta, and he was the guy who immediately afterward did a 100% run of Zero Mission.
I posted this to my wall. I'm going to look at my wall. All right. While I'm doing that. So, I'm nowhere near as good as these speedrunners, but I was having a good old time going through Zero Mission and sort of comparing my memories of it to what I was actually experiencing. And one of the things I kind of remember the game being billed as, but it sort of didn't pan out that way, was being a remake of Metroid, which it sort of was in really broad strokes. Like, yeah. there are certain rooms that you can readily identify between the two, because I actually loaded up the cartridge in my NES and played it a bit. But, like, for the most part, there's just no chance that was just a straight-up, like, you know, room-for-room remake.
Well, it's an interesting idea. When you remake a movie, you expect to change some things and hopefully hit upon most of the same extremely important notes. But what do you consider remaking a video game? These days, it usually just means replace all of the textures, run it in HD, and maybe redo the models if you're Ocarina of Time. But Zero Mission is one of the most interesting attempts at a remake ever, because it was sort of like a movie remake. They hit upon most of the same important points, but then, like Tim Burton's Planet of the Apes, they really, really changed the ending.
Right. I think I told you I felt like the game should have ended with Mother Brain, but it doesn't. And does that, like, cheapen the end? Like, because I don't know.
No, that's the main value add of the game. Where we get the name for Zero Suit Samus in the Smash Brothers games.
Right. And it's funny, like, playing through Fusion and, like, whenever you die, having her explode, and then she's wearing her bikini from, like, the first game.
Right, because in many of the games, when she dies, you see her armor explode off of her, and she's wearing a leotard underneath or something.
Yeah. Oh, that's right, it was a leotard in the first game. Yeah, it's like a bikini or something in the...
Hey, did you ever go and do that power bomb recharge trick in Super Metroid I told you about?
No. I got it. Oh, there's so many of those. Why don't you talk about that for a second while I keep looking at my Facebook wall?
Oh, man, you've got to do that. It's one of the coolest secrets in that game and really in any Metroid game. Super Metroid has a ton of hidden techniques that go from the ones that aren't that hidden, like the shine sparking and the wall jumping that the cute little creatures teach you. But then there's other, even less necessary hidden techniques you can do that are mostly taught to you by watching the title screen idle demo when your game has a completed save in it. If you sit and you watch all of the little idle demo scenes through like four or five loops, they show you different scenes on every loop. And when you have a completed save, they show you the charge beam combo techniques, which is where they don't tell you how to do it, but they show you the graphics for it, which leads you to go and figure out how to do it. In Super Metroid, you collect five or six different beams, but you can go into Samus's equipment status menu and you can turn each of them on and off independently. And if you turn on just the charge beam and one other beam, then you get these protective force fields that spin around you and protect you at the cost of one power bomb each. So if you equip just charge and ice beam, then when you build up a full charge, some ice things will hover around you and freeze anything that touches them. And there are other combos with the other weapons. It's really cool. But all of that is a roundabout way of talking about the what I think is the coolest hidden technique in the game. The idle demo will show you Samus up near the surface of the world, and she'll be up on a high rock formation with her energy really low. And then she ducks into a morph ball, sets a power bomb, and for a moment she's in like a fetal position, hovering in the air with her armor gone, and there's this energy aura around her while her energy tanks refill. It's crazy, and it's That's a really insane. Unintuitive input for it, but the way you actually do this is you need to have a certain minimum number of missiles, super missiles, and power bombs in your inventory, and your energy needs to be depleted to below 40-something, and that includes reserve tanks. You can't have energy in any of your reserve tanks. And then you hold L, R, down, and then you set a power bomb and hold the button that you set it with. You hold all four of those buttons, and then this really cool, weird recharge animation that's not in any other game is triggered. And it looks kind of related to the way her armor explodes off of her in certain death animations.
That's crazy, but somehow intuitive.
I tried to tease you into checking this out. You really need to see this to believe it.
I gotta still at work. I gotta like load up a save, and I have to have all those power ups already. And that's so much work.
Just load a completed save. You don't have one lying around?
I probably do.
I actually I went into my Wii U save and then my Wii save, and the only save I had that was completed to that degree was a Super Nintendo, but I found it.
Right on. Yeah. I think it's probably the only one I have too. I'm just happy that my batteries still work for all these games, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was crazy.
I mean, like,
I don't know. You'd have to do a whole other episode on the different types of save technology in certain games.
No kidding. Well, like,
you aware that, a lot of Game Boy Advance Pokemon game batteries are dying now, and the only consequence of that is that people's clocks aren't working anymore?
I think you did tell me this, and that led me to... Was it you? Man, I'm getting confused about this now. Yeah, I think it was you who like sent me a bunch of photos of potentially... No, I sent you something someone sent me of a bunch of potentially fake... GBA cards because of the way that the save battery was soldered on, and I don't know.
Oh yeah, I don't know how to identify a fake. This whole, I try to stay away from them.
This whole eBay scam, I guess. Okay, well, I mean, I think Fusion's on the Virtual Console, right?
A Fusion is on the Wii U Virtual Console, and yeah. It's one of the 20 free games for 3DS Ambassadors that you can no longer get if you were too late.
And Zero Mission isn't, but it is in Japan, apparently.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's really frustrating.
In America, Zero Mission has never been re-released in any form.
That's really too bad, because I think it's possibly a better game than Super Metroid.
I know. A lot of people listening will say that's blasphemy, but
I've been having a similar feeling
lately. It's so the engine is so much more enjoyable to use, no matter what you might think of the more guided progression, the way the game really takes you on a linear path. You can break that path, but it holds your hand a lot, about as much as Fusion does, although it doesn't feel that way. But I just love the engine so much. I love playing with the Shine Spark and the control scheme. It's really fun.
To be fair, you did say something similar to me first, and then that really got me into this weird death spiral of thinking about it.
Yeah.
this is where I got with this, right? So Super Metroid, like a lot of sequels, like Terminator 2, for example, both remakes the original and improves upon it and does other things with it. I feel like Super Metroid, especially because they literally take you through some completed areas from the first Metroid game.
Well, they try to. If you really hold the maps on an overlap, I've been wanting to do this lately, like take a multi-layered image and see where the real overlaps are. Mm. They're not huge.
Right.
It's a very small percentage of areas that have a 100% overlap, and then the Super Metroid designers take a lot of pleasure in undermining that and showing you, like, hey, this wall could have been bombed away the whole time if only you had super missiles back then.
Right?
Mind-blowing. And then Zero Mission does pretty much the same joke around the same areas in fun ways.
Right. So that's kind of where I'm going with this. So you have now Zero Mission, which is in some ways a sequel to Super Metroid in the sense that it takes the things that Super Metroid introduced and makes them better or a little tighter or something. Mm-hmm. But it also
prequelizes some things from Super Metroid. Like it shows you the, what's it called? The crashed ship.
Yeah.
It shows it to you before it's an actual haunted ghost ship.
Yeah.
I haven't quite figured out exactly what you're supposed to make of that. Is that a space pirate vessel? I think it is.
Yeah, I guess so, because it has the same security robots on board and
right
and whatnot that get in your way, so you can't speed dash out of there fast. Oh, God, it's so annoying. Mm-hmm. But...
Well, you just have to super missile them. They get out of the way pretty fast.
Are you kidding me? Oh, God, all right.
Yeah.
The harder
you shoot those robots, the faster they get out of your way.
And super missiles are...
A super missile will make them go really fast.
Son of a gun.
Relatively, for them.
So yeah, you have the improved engine. Mm-hmm. Which,
although all due deference to Super Metroid, can I throw in a fun piece of trivia from one of the Metroid wikis? They say here that Super Metroid was almost canceled 3 times during development because at that point it was the largest video game ever created.
Which is so funny because you can beat it so quickly now compared to other games.
Yeah, but when you look at everything that came before, it's just full of little details that you just see for a second. Little creatures that just give you a little bit of flavor and you're constantly running through that.
It is
a very, very textured game.
So it's just funny to me that these two games, which do kind of the same things and kind of sequelize both the original game and each other to an extent in this weird little feedback loop of, I realize Super Metroid is now like kind of the standard bearer of the entire series and everyone's riffing on it at some point, but Zero Mission is just like, nope, we're making a better Super Metroid.
Deal with it. Yeah, it's kind of like that, yeah.
So, yeah, you know, the tricks you mentioned don't exist in Zero Mission to my knowledge, and you can't really sequence break for any serious amount of time, and...
Oh, sure you can.
What?
You know those the statues we've been talking about that give you a map point to go to?
Mm-hmm.
Screw them. You can go wherever you want.
Right.
If you watch a real speedrunner, they do not go through the bosses in the suggested order. They have their own routes. Oh, you just have to watch them, man.
Oh, God. So I haven't been able to find this video that I'm sure that you linked to me that I watched either in my texts or on my Facebook page, so whatever.
Which one are we talking about?
I don't know. You sent me some four-way speedrun.
A four-way speedrun? I didn't do that.
You didn't do that? Did I find a four-way speedrun?
Of Zero Mission?
No, I thought it was Super Metroid.
I haven't watched such a thing.
Oh, goodness. Okay, well, that's confusing.
Sent you the crazy sequence break of Fusion that was anticipated by the designers and sends you into a fourth wall breaking conversation.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. That I have readily available. Well, not readily, but I did find it. I don't know why I can't find this other one. Oh dear. So what did I post? I've posted so far, well, probably by the time this comes up, all four of them will be out, plus the Zero Mission Shine Spark Morph Ball Shine Spark we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
But we have wall jumping, bomb jumping, The Shine Spark, and what was the first one I put up? The first one was...
Shine Sparking is so complicated. Are you talking about doing individual videos to cover each of these techniques?
Yes.
Because the Shine Spark, man, there's just so many levels to it. First, the game teaches you to speed dash, which is the only layer of the technique that's ever completely necessary, except to escape the chamber where they teach you Shine Sparking.
Right.
Then the initial Shine Spark technique that the game does teach you is that if you speed dash, then duck, you save a charge, and if you jump, you'll go flying straight up. And only in Super Metroid will they charge you some of your energy for that. But anyway, then on to the things the game never overtly teaches you. Number one, from that jump, you can indicate other directions, left, right, or an upper diagonal. And you can fly in those directions. In Super Metroid, if you Shine Spark into a slope, Samus will just kind of try to trace that slope. But in the Game Boy Advance games, if you Shine Spark into a slope, her feet will touch the ground and she'll start running again. Mm-hmm. And then you can duck again, save your charge again, and Shine Spark off in another direction. So both of those games are full of all of these areas where you need to Shine Spark into a slope, save your charge, hit another slope, and go from slope to slope over long distances to save a charge that you built up kind of a way back and finally make it to your destination. That includes the fusion sequence break into the hidden conversation I was mentioning earlier.
Right.
And then Zero Mission adds the capability to dash, crouch to save a charge, then duck all the way into Morph Ball and do a Morph Ball Shine Spark in any direction. And I don't remember if you can do this in Fusion or not, but it's necessary for one of the pickups in Zero Mission. You can initiate a Shine Spark from midair by doing a somersault jump, not a stationary jump. So you somersault into position with your stored charge, then fire your weapon to come out of the somersault, and then hit the jump button. Then you can initiate a Shine Spark from anywhere. I think that covers every layer of using that technology. And wow, does it just... It feels so complicated at first, and it's so satisfying once you've applied it in every situation.
Yeah, that last one I was able to do... After you've beaten Mother Brain and you escape the pirate ship, if you go back to that chamber, there is a power up behind the shaft behind Mother Brain. So you have to do that very thing in the air. You have to go through a door, save up your Shine Spark, jump in the air, and then you have to get just at the right height, and then do your Shine Spark or your toast. You're not gonna get through everything. And oh God. No, the one I was going to put up was a Super Metroid one where you run through a room, you duck into Morph Ball and save it that way, and then when you come up again, you can Shine Spark across a lava pit to, I forget what power-up it was. That one's possible.
And a lot of the places they designed where you can use Shine Spark aren't even to get a power-up. They're just to make it so that a really long room is less monotonous and you can just blast through it on return trips.
Especially if you're not using up your power in the meantime, that's pretty nice.
Right. Right. Shine Sparking is a less friendly technique on Super Nintendo. It can be a very routine thing on Game Boy Advance though, because it doesn't cost you anything.
So this is definitely, now that I've played through the vast majority of Zero Mission and I've picked up Fusion again, and I'm, I think, pretty far along in that right now.
We did decide, by the way, Sean, that looking at your previous Zero Mission save is cheating.
Fine.
Facebook was unanimous.
Yes, that was true. It was like, yes, yes, and absolutely, definitely yes were the answers, I believe.
Yeah.
I was trying to find where all the power-ups were, because I got an energy tank from one area that I just couldn't figure out where I got it because I compared the two maps and it seemed like I had they would like overlap perfectly, but somehow I have this energy tank. I don't know where the hell it came from.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get there eventually.
For our listeners, the way you're supposed to pick up all of the items in a Game Boy Advance Metroid game is that after you finish the final boss and go into your save, each individual area map in the game gives you a checklist for how many of the power-ups in that area you have and how many you're missing. So they really narrow it down to you, kind of like a lot of Zelda games do. And then you just you hunt down every circle on the map to pick up all of the power-ups from places you've been, and then you go scrounging around the edges to the map looking for weaknesses and suspicious things, looking for the rest of the hidden rooms.
Did you know that Zero Mission was the last game that Nintendo R&D 1 made before they reorganized?
I did not. That's so sad.
Yeah, I was looking that up, and I guess because of the release dates on Fusion Zero Mission, like 2002 and 2004, they must have made these games back to back.
That's a good swan song,
right? And Sakamoto was involved with both, I believe. Because I guess the only one he didn't do was Metroid 2, I think.
I don't know.
Even though Fusion makes heavy reference to that game, which I really appreciate.
It's funny to note in the end credits of Zero Mission and Fusion and I think also Super Metroid? I don't know. A lot of these old games I've been playing the last few weeks that Satoru Iwata is credited, but he's credited as Iwata Satoru.
Oh.
Which is not modern. That's not how he goes these days.
Right. Interesting. Yeah, now is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Or so I've heard.
Yep, pretty big wheel down at the Cracker Factory.
So there was one more thing that came out of all this that was sort of Metroid related, and I thought based on the name that it was a Metroid only thing.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm hedging. I'm reluctant to mention this. Because I have a lifelong policy against hacking and emulating and modding and anything of the kind. I'm a lifelong Nintendo purist.
But this is for a good cause.
It's I feel like I'm making this my worthy exception. So I'm putting my stamp of approval on one particular Nintendo game mod. I got started on this when last month Masahiro Sakurai, the current head of Smash Brothers at Nintendo, he tweeted a picture of a couple of costumes that are going to be in Smash Brothers 4. He showed a Mario costume that's based on an old NES golf game, and also in the shot was a white Samus. Her normal power armor with the larger shoulder pads, but in a white color scheme, which is supposed to be a reference to the light suit from the end of Metroid Prime 2. If you've played that game, you'll remember it. It's one of the best looking armors Samus has ever had. I thought that was kind of cool. I've always wanted that in a Smash Brothers game. I love that costume so much. But then the conversation on Reddit went right to one person who pointed out that Project M did it better. Project M is a fan mod of Smash Brothers that tries to make the Wii game Brawl more like the GameCube game Melee. That's where they get the M in their name, Project M. And they've been rebalancing Brawl for a long time, coming out with their own tweaked, optimized versions of the characters and changes to the overall rules of the game, like there's no more random tripping when you run. And they've added in some characters.
There's random tripping?
Yeah, the Wii game has random tripping. It's been infamous for that among competitive players for a long time.
What?
You'll go into a run, and sometimes, just because it's hilarious, your character will just trip and fall on their face.
You're kidding me.
I can't believe you don't remember that. It's really annoying. It doesn't happen that often, but when it happens, you remember it.
Well, maybe it's just because I feel like I'm so...
Why did that just happen to me?
I feel like I'm so weak sauce that maybe I just thought that I screwed up somehow.
Maybe.
No, I don't know.
That's just an example of some of the things that were a little not preferable.
Right.
About the Wii game. But Project M sets out to fix that, and the way I was introduced to it was that a couple of weeks before Sakurai tweeted their version of Smash Brothers Light Suit, these fan modders put out some looks at the next batch of alternate costumes they're putting into the game. And their alternate costumes are not just recolors. They are alternate models, and they look fantastic. I don't know. Do you put out show notes for these things or links or something?
Yes.
All right. Well, people need to see what the original Light Suit looks like, what Nintendo's official Smash Brothers version of it looks like, and then what the fan version looks like, because it is, the fans are doing a much better job than the professionals in this case.
And what's even more impressive to me is that they go through so much effort.
It's like... Yeah. Their modifications to characters include things like their version of Samus, regardless of costume, can side taunt to switch to Ice Beam, which affects several of her moves. They made it so that her holding shield and retreating move isn't the morph ball anymore, but she does go into morph ball if you attempt to crawl like Solid Snake. That's right. If you make Metroid crawl, she will morph ball.
Jesus.
That is a Project M innovation. And by the way, anyone who wants to play this, it's incredibly easy. You don't need to mod your Wii. You don't need the homebrew channel. It does run on Wii U. All you need to do is have a Brawl save. Go into the custom stage editor and delete all of your custom stages or move them onto some other SD card that you're going to set aside, keeping in mind that this game is so old, it's not compatible with SD cards larger than 2 gigs. And then you take an SD card that you'll devote just to being your Project M SD card, go to the Project M website, it's projectmgame.com, and they'll give you the files that you need to put on your SD card. And then the way you run it is you just have the SD card in your Wii or Wii U, go into the custom stage editor, and it fires up. It loads this thing called a strap loader, which is a little intermediary menu before you get to their actual mod that lets you check to see if there are any newer versions of it. And then they send you off to their, I think, much improved version of Smash Brothers Brawl. It'll be very interesting when Smash Brothers 4 for Wii U and for 3DS finally, when that finally comes out, it'll be interesting to see how they stack up, because the new game will have a lot of characters that they've promised they won't be hacking into the old Wii game. But I think the fan versions of a lot of the returning characters might be a lot more interesting. There's a lot of alternate costumes and a lot of very cool work there.
It's such a weird state of affairs. Like
makes me a little sad, but you know, big props to the fans.
Okay.
They're not putting like crazy costumes in there either. They have a stringent standard that their additions to the game are things that are appropriate for the spirit of a Nintendo fan letter game.
I wonder how many of those people are going to get jobs out of this.
Yeah, right.
Or sued.
I figure that's their real motivation. It's a resume piece.
Right. Because I can't even imagine. Because this thing is like self-updating too, right? So you don't even have to worry about it once you load it. It's just crazy.
It's not self-updating, I don't think.
No.
But what it is every time you go into the stage editor to boot it up, you're in the intermediary menu that you can use to update the game. Okay. That's it.
Okay.
If there's an update, that's where you can get it. Or you can use your computer to replace the files on your SD card or whatever, but that's the hard way. Once you've got the mod on an SD card, that's it. You can update it through your Wii from there in the future.
Well, mind blown. It wouldn't have happened if I weren't obsessed with Metroid right now. I think as a result of all of this, I'm finally going to pull Metroid Prime 2 off my pile of shame. But I gotta admit, right before we started, I loaded it up. I have no idea where the hell I am.
Well, you have to start over at this point. Come on.
Well, I'm a little nervous because it's like 11 hours in the save, it said. And I'm sure some of that was backtracking.
That is all time that you have lost and that you now get to invest again. It'll be great.
I think the last time I played this game was about 2009, so that was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that sounds about right.
Start over. It's so much fun.
I guess.
It's not the best Metroid game ever, but it's how do I put this? It's more fun than Zelda 2.
Oh, don't.
You know what? The experience is similar to Majora's Mask. They tweak on some series tropes, like having your beam weapons with infinite ammo. And they do some things that are going to make you uncomfortable. But it's still fun. It's really great.
I mean, I did get to a point, and I did start another save just to like familiarize myself with the controls again and get used to it. So maybe I can jump back into my old one, but we'll see. But yeah, I remember certain things coming back to me now here and there, like the limited ammo on the special beams and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And it turns out I conflated the beginning of this game with Metroid Prime.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened, but now it's like, oh, that's right. It just jumps right into it. No explanation for why you're depowered, as far as I know.
You know, there's a big fat cliffhanger at the end of Metroid Prime 3.
Is there? I own it, but I haven't really played it beyond the first opening stage.
I was just reminded of that poking around the wikis that I mentioned earlier. I think all three Metroid Prime games have virtually the same cliffhanger if you get the 100% completion ending. Which is, I mean, it's the least explicit in Prime 3, but it sure seems like Dark Samus somehow survived and is continuing to stalk Samus.
Yeah, I'm really confused, because, like, isn't this, like, Alterna Samus something that Fusion started, and, like, everyone's been trying to ape it since then?
Fusion started the trope, but Samus has no less than two doppelgangers in the series. The SAX is a character confined to Metroid Fusion, and Dark Samus is her doppelganger that spawned from when she had a dark suit in Prime 1.
Oh.
So you don't think a lot of it in Prime 1, but your suit power-ups are... You start with the basic power-up, or the basic power suit, which has slender lines and really low shoulder pads. Then you get the, I want to say, Varia suit that has the familiar outline of the large round shoulder pads. The gravity suit does the Super Metroid tradition of color swapping it into some purples and pinks. And then where Metroid Prime goes is Samus gets soaked in Phazon goo from a boss she's just defeated. And her suit gets corrupted into the black color scheme Phazon suit.
Hence the name of the third game, right?
Right, which is cool, because now you're resistant to Phazon, and you've got the cool Batman-looking version of your suit and everything, but like the remainder of the plot of the Metroid Prime series is all about the fallout of this having happened, because she eventually ditches the Phazon suit and it comes back to life as Dark Samus, who stalks her forever.
Ah.
And also, apart from Dark Samus, the corruption of Metroid Prime 3 corruption is that Samus is having some medical issues still. even now that Dark Samus has left her, she's her body is becoming Phazon corrupted.
But I mean, this game, as far as these three games, just I should say, in the chronology of the series, takes place before the first and second.
Between the first and second.
Okay.
The chronology of Metroid. You want to hear the whole thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Metroid.
Mm.
Or alternatively, Metroid Zero Mission, if you want the complete canonical story.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Then Metroid Prime. Mm. Then Metroid Prime Hunters.
Ugh.
Which has like no relationship to the rest of Metroid, but still that's where it takes place.
Okay.
So Hunters, then Prime 2 Echoes, then Prime 3, then Metroid 2. So that was a lot that happened between 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
Then Metroid 3 Super Metroid,
mm-hmm.
as it calls itself on its title screen. Then Other M picks up directly from the end of Super Metroid. Like the beginning of Other M features Samus getting the goo from the last fight cleaned off of her suit.
Yeah. Baby goo.
Yeah.
It's like reverse giving birth or something. It's
right.
It's weird.
And then it's on to Fusion. And that's it.
Right.
Fusion was made a long time ago, and we've had a lot of chronologically out of order games since that came out, pretty much just because they're afraid to make another game and the fallout of that.
Because
Samus is part Metroid now. And what does that mean?
I guess. Well, it means that the title can go on and have it mean something, like literal and deliberate. But like, you know, it feels like everything came from that last game, though. Like the alternate evil Dark Samus, the health problems, even that you just mentioned, because, you know, she got merged with the X and it almost killed her, and then she got a Metroid infusion, and now she's
just, it is pretty parallel.
I'm just like, this game is so good, and I don't know, so yeah. I gotta go through it.
Isn't it funny how all of the main numbered Metroid games 1 through 4 are 2D side scrollers?
Yes, and they also alternate between console and handheld, and it seems like the console versions are direct sequels to each other, whereas the handheld...
Most of them are handheld. Super Metroid isn't available on handheld, and the original Metroid isn't properly handheld, but the rest are handheld games.
Yeah, I guess you can buy Metroid for your 3DS, or you can get it for free as a Club Nintendo.
Yeah, I don't know if that's still happening. I don't know. Is that one of the so-called platinum rewards?
It is.
I think it's one of the gold / platinum. I don't want to have platinum. An opinion on that.
That's fine. It's just funny to me that I've been going through this Metroid craze, and I bought 2 for my 3DS and a virtual console, and then the original also happens to be, I think it's just the 3DS version that's available on the Club Nintendo reward. So that's
the original game is available in so many places too. You can get it in, or can you get it in Animal Crossing? I can't remember about that, but it's unlockable on the Metroid Prime disc. It's unlockable on the Zero Mission cartridge. It's sold separately as a GBA cart, and of course, it's on every format of virtual console.
Insane.
Mm-hmm.
Have to buy all copies.
I know I have. That's right, kids.
All right. Well, thanks for joining me.
You are welcome, sir.
Hope to see you around the blogospheres and interwebs and YouTubes.
And reality.
Yes. People keep asking me about if you're still around. I hope this answers
your
question.
Yeah, I live. I just can't really be bothered to make original content.
Fair enough.
I'm working on it right now. No, seriously, I wrote a script last week.
don't tell them that. They're going to wait
with
bated breath. It's never going to come out. Because
it will too.
I mean, this whole thing happened because I didn't make a video for a year. Yeah, sure. All right. I guess until next time, the dojo is fill in the blank here, by the way.
Yo!
Oh, acceptable.
Famicom Dojo.
If you enjoyed this episode, please visit our show notes at FamicomDojo.tv and leave a comment. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or our RSS feed. Rate and leave a comment on our free iTunes storefront, or call us at 608-492-1923 to share your thoughts. Follow Famicom Dojo on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube to train your game. And visit littlepodcast.com to sponsor an episode, sign up for a free Audible trial, or listen to any of the other great shows on the Little Podcast Network.